Black Nerds with the Word. This is the podcast where us blurs discuss comics, manga, anime, movies, and much more happening in pop culture. This is one of your hosts, Marcus Andre. With me, I have.
What's going on, y'all? This is Drew, reporting live, Double D, Dirty Dwarf. We are a week away from Christmas, so if y'all ain't get your Christmas shopping done, yeah, might as well just wait because, you know, it's probably too late now. Because I already got a couple stuff in the mail that doesn't say a delivery day tonight, so I'm just waiting. That's the vibes we on. You know, we're chilling.
All right, big homie Kenny Murdamoko. Like the man Drew said, we a week away from Krimma. But yeah, make sure, what's the name? Hopefully you took your stuff ahead of time. If not, well, hopefully Amazon will be a saint and prime it up for you. But if not, heck, look forward to next time. Pass it off to my man, Jess, who's back today. He got the new whip all here.
Hey.
You're on mute.
Come on, man. It's been 2 weeks, man. Come on now. Oh, Lord.
Nah, damn.
Goodness, man.
We don't hear you, bro.
Damn.
Okay.
Oh, no, there you go.
Talk a little bit closer.
You guys hear me now?
All right.
Yeah, it's good.
Can you get it now? All right, cool.
Yeah.
What's going on, everybody? I'm hope everybody's staying warm out there because it's real out cold these days now. Sheesh. What is this, episode 29? 29? Yeah. Oh, man. Feels good to be back after being suspended from Golden Boy, but I'm back now.
You suspended yourself.
You suspended yourself. That was self-suspension, sir.
Ain't nobody forced you to suggest that.
This man out here put himself an ISS for being a freak man.
Oh, no. Hey, Jess, what kind of car you get? I never asked that.
Oh yeah, I got a Honda Elantra. All
right.
What year?
That's cool. 2020.
Ooh.
Oh, all right. Fancy 2020 though. Okay.
2020.
When you get a chance, send that joint into the GC. I'm trying. You know.
I got you, man.
You trying to see some?
Yeah,
I got you.
That's what's up, though. Congrats, bro.
All right, so now we're going to get into news. I think the only news story I have this week is Bendis is coming onto Justice League in March, I think, right, King? Yeah. So he's coming on in March, and well, Brian Michael Bendis, for all of you that don't know who Brian Michael Bendis is, he is the person that created Miles Morales Spider-Man. Has done great runs on Daredevil. I think a lot of people like his Avengers run, his new Avengers run, and everything like that. He's the current writer on Superman. His last issue came out this week, I think. So I'm very excited to see what Bendis does on Justice League. I really enjoyed his other team books, like All New X-Men, when he brought the kid X-Men back to present time. That was a lot of fun. He's also bringing Naomi, another Black character he's created, and Black Adam is going to be on the team now as well. Yeah, I'm just excited for that. Who else has news? Drew, you muted.
The news I have is from last night, about Cyberpunk and the PlayStation. You know, that's like the most anticipated game like the last few years, but the launch, the execution has been one of the worst I've seen, maybe all time in like the history of games. I can't remember a game that's just botched its launch so bad. And they lit like PlayStation literally had to refund the players or the gamers who bought it because I guess the experience is so bad. I don't have a place. I have an Xbox, but I'm sure the experience is much better on the next gen consoles. But it's just crazy because I was really anticipating it to be like the futuristic GTA, which is advertised to be, but it's just a terrible, terrible launch. Like the videos I've seen is just embarrassing. So that's mainly.
You're on mute again.
I don't know what just happened to make me go on mute, but yeah. I tried to get a PS5 like the past 2 days because I have like the little. I follow a couple Twitter accounts and they let you know like when something is about to drop. And I just been sitting in like the waiting rooms and just been disappointed the past 2 days. So I'm just starting to lose hope. So I'm starting to get depressed.
There is,
For a cheaper price.
What is that?
I said, you get it for a cheaper price.
Oh no. It's the official stuff. It's from PlayStation's like direct website, and another one's from Walmart. But you know, there's just endless people on it, and there's bots and stuff, so it's just hard to get it. But The good thing is, I have a guy that like already has one, but like he has two, but it's not the digital edition. It's the standard one that's like $100 more. So I kind of want the digital edition, but I don't know.
Me too. I've been trying to get that joint for the last 2 days as well. Been on that Twitter account. So I like the person who's running that account. I don't know if you use the same one, but he's pretty cool.
They're definitely clutch. It's just I just haven't had any luck.
Yeah, and as a computer scientist, I don't know. I should know stuff about bots, but I don't know much about bots. But I don't believe that these companies can't do anything to prevent people from being bots. I don't believe it.
I don't understand it all. All they have is just a little "Are you a robot?" check mark box, and that's it. Like that's a bot could easily. It's like somebody could easily go through that. Like that should not be the only thing to go around. Like it should be a whole setup. Just you know, I don't know.
And the last thing before we get to the next person, Cyberpunk. I think a whole lot of people need to lose their jobs over that. I got to return that game. I'm glad I didn't open it up. It's crazy because it's buggy on the next gen consoles, but at least it's like playable and it's, you know, enjoyable. And it's also kind of buggy on the computer version as well. But just seeing the videos from the PS4 and stuff like that, it's amazing how that even got out. That's crazy.
Yeah. $60. That's why I like the game share with people. With the game sharing, you connect with somebody else's PlayStation account or Xbox account. And if you want to, you can just go half on games. And that's what I've been doing since I've been in college. Like games are really not worth $60 anymore, let alone $70. Like this is crazy. Like games are really worth $20-some nowadays.
I think they're worth $60, but don't put out shit like that and make me pay $60 and then say like, well, if you haven't opened it, then you can return it or some shit like that. You know, it's been like 2 years on that shit. I understand, but like, bruh, nah.
Exactly.
At this day and age, I don't think no game should be worth like $60. Honestly, that
it's because they're all incomplete products when they drop, especially the yearly ones. All they do is have a whole bunch of updates, and they say it's like DLC and stuff, but it's just an incomplete game. They're just adding stuff that they didn't get to put in. and they're just trying to fix the bugs, but I'll go on a whole different rant. That's a whole different podcast right there. But that is my news.
Main industry, step the game up, give us the complete products. That's the main thing we're trying to say here.
Yeah, man. But anybody else got any news? Because I'm all out. Nobody. All right.
Okay, let's get into books. I'm gonna go first this week. What did I read? I read the rest of the first volume of George Perez's Wonder Woman run. It's still pretty good. There was the ending of the story was kind of weird to me though. So if you know about the Amazons and Heracles is the demigod that put the Amazons into slavery, basically. He degraded them. And so the gods in return punished the Amazons for letting that happen to them, which is backwards as fuck. But Wonder Woman goes under Themyscira because there's demons under there or whatever. And the god Pan was being impersonated by a manhunter. Those are the people that the robots, the Guardians, used to use before they created the Green Lanterns. So he manipulated Diana for doing into doing all this other shit. And then her mom came down there because she was like, I'm not going to let my daughter go like that. And they're fighting monsters together and everything like that. And they see Heracles, and Heracles has been turned into like this gigantic stone structure, but he's like in prison. So he's wailing all the time, but only Diana's mother can hear him. And a whole bunch of stuff happens, but of course they win the day and everything like that. And they break bread with Heracles at the end. And that just rubbed me the wrong way, because he literally put them in slavery. And if you read the first issue, it sounds like his army was raping them as well. So it's just like, I don't know how I feel about this, even though it was like thousands of years ago or whatever. I don't know how I feel about this. So, Diana's mom and Heracles have like a romantic moment at the end. I was like, but it's still overall a good book, great writing. Next, I read Deadly Class, which keeps just getting wilder and wilder with these kids killing each other and all their melodrama and everything like that. What else did I read? I think that is it for me for this week.
You got any, Kenny?
As far as me, let me see. The current Batman run, they finished up the Ghostmaker storyline, which, in my opinion, it's a waste of time. But only thing they did with that storyline is just introduce him to the Bat family, as far as it ends with him coming to Gotham saying, okay, well, yeah.
Oh, Kenny, we got to talk about Death Metal.
Yeah, I'm gonna get to that in a second. Okay. After then, on the Marvel side, the only things that came out was more in King and Black stuff, but like just tie-ins, so nothing really crazy there. X-Men stuff, they're just all still dealing with the fallout from X of Swords. And I don't know, Marcus, have you ever picked up Savage Avengers?
No, but after you go, I got to talk about X-Men too. I forgot.
Yeah. Savage Avengers is like basically... it's a team, basically Wolverine, Conan the Conqueror, Punisher, Magic, Doctor Strange, Elektra, a whole bunch of heavy hitter Marvel people that you know aren't afraid to kill somebody. They're all on one team to face the Sorcerer Kulan Graf, who's trying to take over the world and whatever. But that's the main things I've been reading. But we can get on to Death Metal, though. How'd you feel about it, Marcus?
It's stupid. It is very stupid. I don't know what is going on. A lot of it is corny, too. Very corny. I don't know what's going on with Scott. Like, you get Batman, and Batman is, like, the best shit ever. You get Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing wasn't that great to me. A lot of people liked it, though, and at least I could say it was well-written. It just wasn't for me.
I never read it.
And I like his American Vampire stuff and everything like that. But this is like Diana doesn't have like a personality. She's just like the hung ho, like, we gotta do this team and everything like that. Even Batman seems out of character, you know? And I can't wait till this is over. And I hope someone else is steering the company in a different direction. I know Bendis gets a little wild, but I'd rather it be under him than Scott.
It depends what kind of Scott we're getting, because, like, the beginning of this started off like, okay, we're picking up where Dark Knights ended off, which was our, like I said, they start off good, but it's just that so much shit happens that it comes hard to pull all together, and that becomes like, okay, let's do sappy shit, and after that. The thing at the end where Wonder Woman becomes golden and everything, and I was just like, what the fuck is all of this happening? Yeah. And then Perpetua, and then The Darkest Night, and I'm just like, yeah. So how are you... I mean, I understand, like, going forward, after Future State happens, Omniverse is what's the next thing, and that they can still call and shit from this, but literally, I'm just waiting for the last chapter, because, yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, with Scott, it seems like he can't get everybody on the same team. like like Jeff Johns could.
Yeah.
So whatever. Kenny, are you done with your books?
Yeah, like well, so you said something about X-Men.
Yeah, I haven't read it all the way, but I read volume two of Hickman's X-Men. And I can't remember everything that happened in there when I read it. But there's one issue, the beginning, that stands out. So the X-Men have this new ritual where they take mutants that lost their powers due to
Wanda. The Crucible, I think it's called, but yeah.
Yeah, what's her name? Wanda, what's her superhero name? Scarlet Witch.
You mean Magneto's daughter? Yeah, Scarlet Witch, yeah.
Scarlet Witch, yeah. So during Endgame or whatever, or Crucible. Oh, Crucible is the new process I'm talking about. But on Endgame, Wanda took away most mutants' powers. So there are some mutants out there now, even with like the events of Avengers versus X-Men, where a lot of people became new mutants. There's still some people, some mutants that... don't have their powers, they still don't have the powers, but they are able to be on the mutant island Krakoa because they used to be mutants. And this process, this ceremony, Crucible, is that they fight to the death and they're brought back to life. And because the X-Men can bring everybody back to life now, it's a whole thing. They have backups of their consciousness and everything like that. And throughout the issue, you see Scott Summers and Nightcrawler talking about how moral this is, you know, to kill somebody just to bring them back. Like, is it immoral? Is it moral? They don't know how they feel about it. And, you know, Nightcrawler is a Catholic, so... He's just like, I don't know, like, is it even the same soul when they get reincarnated, you know, or do they go in purgatory because it's kind of like them, it's kind of like suicide, or what if they sin a lot? Like, is it a new soul? Is it not? But I thought that was very interesting. That was a very interesting issue, but that is all.
I mean, it's an interesting thing. Like, the resurrection protocol works as in, like, Professor Xavier, he's always wearing a walking around Cerebro that, like, it's like an active backup for all mutants. And that he has, like, a data center where it stores it and everything. So he's actively backing up every mutant on Krakoa who's, like, being on the island. And after that, so say in the eventuality that, you might die because of, you're out in battle, you know, who knows, you might fight the fucking Juggernaut and he fucks you up and you die. They can literally bring you back because they have like the five who are the resurrection protocol people who can, like, they create a little pod for you as far as that, start to meld your structure and everything, and that when you're reborn out of the Professor Xavier brings your consciousness back to your body again, and that you're back restored to your full potential as far as you have all your mutant powers, the exact age you were, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah.
So does anybody else have anything reading this week?
You know, we obviously got, you know, something to read on Sunday with the Boruto new chapter coming out. But I just want to talk about, I'm not going to talk about the spoilers, like the actual spoilers, but I'm going to talk about like how people are perceiving the spoilers. Like, it's so wild because I literally seen people literally drop the series or claim that they're going to drop the series because of what happened in this recent chapter. And you have to understand that we've seen the characters that we've learned to love and all that stuff for the last 15, 20 years. And, you know, there comes to a point where it's time for a new story, for new characters, for new, you know, main characters, things of that nature. And it's okay if your main character gets beat the hell up by somebody. It is okay. I just want to let y'all, everybody know that out in the world. I mean, if somebody dies, somebody dies. But the point is, these are fictional characters and people are literally like dropping the series because their favorite character dies. Even if, like, if it's my favorite character or whatever, like, I'm not going to drop a series no matter what show it is. I just find that so weird to me. Am I the only one in this?
But, like, that is kind of weird. I mean, you got to see how to
story. You drop a series because somebody dies?
Nah,
I
mean, just... Like, I mean, I'm wrong. It's not Dragon Ball Z, but sometimes they like mystical bullshit where they do bring that character back. So just keep watching. You never know. Or they might be.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, the show must go on. Like, come on, y'all. Like,
exactly, relax. Exactly. That's crazy. It's different if, like, it's portrayed as they're gone and they're not coming back. And I'm not even talking about specific death in the whole thing, because that's not even, I didn't even read it. You know, I'm talking about just straight up spoiled. It's just how people are perceiving them, and they're like, "Oh, I'm dropping the series because blah blah blah. They did my man dirty." Like, will you grow up?
It's just one panel, man. Calm down. We don't the full extent of it. I know it's crazy, but yeah.
Let's spoil it in three.
Justin.
You gotta get A.
The biggest spoiler that happens is Jesus comes to Naruto himself, and then after that destroys everybody.
Wait, who?
I'm just bullshit, but nah.
Oh, okay. No, really, y'all, get out of here. Or, you know, skip like 10 seconds.
Justin, do you want to hear this?
Do you not want to hear this or nah? Okay. Drew, you want to do this or I want to do this? You want to do this?
I'm sorry, Justin. I mean, if you really don't want to hear it, you could just unplug your earphone.
Turn your volume.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Do all that. But you know, the main panel that came out, which is actually the last panel of the chapter, was Boruto, who is at this point being possessed by Momoshiki. He stabs Sasuke in his Rinnegan eye, and Sasuke does not have his Rinnegan anymore.
Yeah.
And he called him completely off guard.
He just popped the ambitions.
Yeah.
And on the ground leaking.
So there's so many things that's going to happen in this chapter. I've seen a few panels where, like what we said last month, Naruto used his last jutsu. Yeah. His Baryon mode. And that really took a toll on Ishiki's lifespan. But somehow, some way that didn't work. And Kawaki was teleported to the battlefield. And Boruto was knocked out through all of this. And then at the end of last chapter's panel, it was Momoshiki's Byakugan in Boruto's eye awakening. And that was basically him being possessed. And I think one of the panels that was translated said, okay, since Ishiki's gone, all I have to worry about is just y'all now. Y'all meaning Naruto, Sasuke, and Kawaki. So he went straight for Sasuke. Yeah. And it was a huge payback because in the anime, Sasuke stabbed Momoshiki in his Rinnegan hand.
Yeah.
He basically took out his Rinnegan. So that was kind of like an ode to the anime. Like, I'm basically being petty. So, and it wasn't a shadow clone or nothing. Like, I think he really doesn't have his Rinnegan.
Got that, man.
Yeah.
Speaking of shadow clones, Ishiki's plan doesn't pan out because he tries to get the man Kawaki, as far as the stuff I read that was translated in. He tries to get away and everything, and that he has Kawaki. He's like, yeah, I got you. I'm gonna put a seal on him. That the seal goes on Kawaki, and she gets spot to fall apart. Then it's revealed it's a shadow clone, and nigga dies.
And Ishiki is dead.
Yep, that nigga gone.
So that was a pretty big spoiler.
Wow.
People
weren't even dropping this series about Ishiki. Man, people are dropping the series about Sasuke.
I mean,
he lost his Rinnegan. Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like,
I understand. Like, he out here took that nigga cap off, but like, he out here, he got stabbed in the eye. That's fucked up. But my thing is, you still got healing stuff and whatever you can do. I mean, hey,
there's so many ways where it could be.
On top of that, doesn't like Orochimaru have like a whole secret thing that we don't know about as far as Sharingans or whatever? Because he still did give Danzo a damn dumpster fool, and I guarantee that's not everything.
Exactly. We have that. We have Amado's ninja. He literally made a Jiraiya clone. Like, you don't think he can do something with the Rinnegan? So there's so many ways that it could be fixed. But people literally dropped the series off that one panel of him.
Yeah.
And that's an amazing scene because of the relationship that Boruto and Sasuke has. Of like just the teacher pupil moment. It really reminds me of when Jiraiya was training Naruto and Naruto went into Nine Tails mode and attacked Jiraiya. He had that big old like
scar.
Yeah, that scar on his chest, but it's like 10 times worse. So those were just
I guarantee next chapter, watch what's the name get even a score though.
We'll see. I ain't gonna speak too soon. Somebody might die. I don't know. But,
be the last thing that's even the score. All right, you cut my eye, I cut your eye, nigga. We be straight.
Yeah, but that's still his student's body, though. So you do that, it's gonna, you know, I don't know. But yeah, that's just a spoiler. That's not even a chapter we haven't even read yet. So I'm looking forward to that on Sunday.
Yeah.
I think the reason, the same reason why people are getting mad at this is why Dragon Ball to me sucks right now. It is so boring because Goku is always going to be the protagonist, and it's just boring. Power up, and he's going to defeat whoever the bad guy is. And we should have got another protagonist a long time ago, but.
I mean, they should have let Gohan take over, but it, niggas kept clamoring for Goku to come back. This last chapter, this last arc, they should have let Vegeta have the dub that time, because it literally looked like this will be the first time Vegeta to take the dub. No follow-up, no nothing, no bullshit. But then after, they literally want to give it back to Goku at the end, and I was just like, why? And I mean, it's just different things. They're about to start a new arc soon with some new niggas, and they just introduced Oob into the arc, into the Dragon Ball Super. Oob, if you remember him, from who's the reincarnated form of Kid Majin Buu, but yeah. But on to shows.
Yep. And music to shows.
In pocket.
I'm trying to think. Y'all can go first. I'm trying to think what I watched. I don't remember.
I watched Big Mouth.
You finished the whole season?
Yep.
How was it?
Actually really good, really good. I mean, like, they had an episode, like, they really delved more into depth about Missy, which I fuck with, because she's like, well, she's the one of the two black characters on the show, and they talked about, like, how, like, if you grow up interracial, sometimes you don't get a chance to experience your whole heritage of being an African-American and everything, because they're talking about doing her hair and everything. She said, how you, was saying, what do you wash your hair with, Tom Zemane? What the hell is Tom Zemane?
Missy is interracial?
Missy, yeah, she has a white mom.
She does? I thought her mom was black.
Nah, her dad's black, her mom's white, but they both act Caucasian, but still. Huh. But, like, they talk about that. They also had an episode where her and the other character, Devon, they go hang out with Missy's cousins because they were going to have a Jay-Z watch party or whatever. And, like, what's the name of it? He talks about code switching and everything.
Oh, yeah, I saw that song.
That shit was dope. That shit was dope. I mean, everything else, as far as that, everything else was a decent season and everything. I mean, as far as the content, I don't think they can really keep pushing it more, because, like, I feel like they probably have, like, one or two more seasons left, because I understand they're dealing with their kids right now. They're dealing with shit. But, like, my thing is, they're kids dealing with kids / adult shit. So, I mean, you get older, but how much more shit can you really deal with? Because, like, you're already pushing it for the envelope and everything. So I feel like they probably push out, like, probably one to two more seasons of this show. But, yeah.
I listened to Freddie Gibbs' album, the one that was Grammy nominated. I forgot what the name of it is, but it's literally his last album he put out. I'm not familiar with him that much, but it's just, I've been encountering a lot of rappers that can rap, but they don't put out a lot of catchy songs as well. And I think to be a great rapper, you can rap, but you need to come with a little, like, you know, a little pizzazz, a little, like, you know, flavor. And he does have, you know, flavor and stuff like that, but it's just not like, it's like listening to How to Pimp a Butterfly or To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's like listening to that, and I'm just like, y'all need some hits, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know you can rap, you rap really well. But yeah, I also listened to another artist. His name is, what is his name? Almost there. No, I guess I'm not there. All right, somebody else go. I'll come back to you.
So I watched the Attack on Titan episode, the second episode. And it really reminds me of, like, the themes that they play on with, like, racism, the Holocaust, and things of that nature. Because I really forgot of how the Eldians, they have to wear that armband to show that they're Eldians in the country of Marley. And that literally plays on how Jewish people had to live back around the time of the Holocaust. They literally had to wear an armband. And I kind of already know what some parts are going to happen, because I already seen Hobo Aaron with, like, one leg and one arm. And they were, like, you know, making fun of the Eldians that were that had like PTSD from like the war. And I mean, I only knew it was Aaron because I saw like a panel in the manga. I was like, that looks exactly like his character design. And so I'm just waiting on that big reveal that he's gonna do on Reiner's in front of Reiner, spoiler alert. But yeah, so I'm just looking forward to that. I'm like really hyped for that moment. And the animation, like the characters, it's literally the same as the manga. It's just colored. Like it's beautiful. I love anime so much. And obviously Boruto episode 178, the official introduction of Owl. That episode was really, really good. Like it was very, it felt like a Shippuden episode. Like, it was like real heartfelt. And the setting was, it was like their memorial service for the Fourth Great Ninja War. And it was the main people that they were focusing on was Ino and Shikamaru on, you know, of their fathers and how they, you know, had to deal with the Ten Tails attack that basically killed them in their headquarters. And he was just reflecting on that, and then Owl literally pulled up to the to the memorial service, and I guess at that point they knew Owl was alive, but they was just like trying to figure out because he was in that same headquarters as Shikaku and Ino's dad. I don't remember his name, so it was just a great moment of just them talking. Like Owl seems like he's a good guy at that point, but like at the very end of the episode you could just tell that he's like up to something. So it was just a very good episode. And in the episode coming up, 179, we're gonna get the official Kara members, like a Kara member scene, like the Jigen, Delta, Amado, all of them. They're in the anime full costume designs, no more hooded, you know, figures, silhouettes, and nothing like that. It's really just gonna be them. So I'm really have to see what they're gonna do, because at this point, what's his name? Victor is still trying to take, for some reason, I don't know how this is gonna work, but he's trying to take Kawaki from Jigen. I don't know. I guess that's why he ends up dead. But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to the next episode. Anime manga heating up, man. But that's all I got.
Are you used to watching Full Metal Alchemist?
Oh yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, I do be watching that. I got like 3 episodes left. I'm on the last season. I forgot to say that. I'm on the last season. So I'm on the part where somebody ordered some food. I'm on the part where what happened? Dang. Not a pride, but like the main like father. He basically did the little human transmutation on like the entire world. Oh no, on the country of Amestrius or something like that. And yeah, I'm just on that part. So it really reminds me of the Infinite Tsukuyomi, like that whole like the same scene reminds me of it, because it's literally the main characters that are still alive. So it's getting to the end, and you know, I've heard it has like the best ending and like one of the best endings in like anime. So. 3 episodes left. I'm probably gonna finish this weekend. But yeah, that's all I got.
What about you, Jess, before I continue with my?
Yeah, I don't remember watching anything this week. I didn't watch anything this week.
Okay, so I'm gonna get back into what I was listening to this week. I also listened to Burden of Proof, Benny the Butcher's album, latest album. Benny be rapping. I would highly encourage everybody to listen to this album. If you're missing that kind of like rappy rap shit in hip hop. And there's also this album called Sync Originals by Toby Nwigwe.
I know you're talking about, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. So it's the album I put in the group chat like last week or this week or something like that. And he's rapping like rappy niggas, but the beats are so like alternative sounding, if you know what I mean. They're not popish, but it's like alternative. But everybody on the album, even his features, they are like, everybody is giving their 100%. And it's weird because I never heard of this guy before, but he's rapping throughout the whole thing. You got features from what's that nigga that should be bigger than he is? He's Southern, starts with a K.
K-Camp?
Crit, Big Crit.
Oh yeah, Billy, Big Crit, yeah.
Big Crit is on there. We got Earth Gang and Duckworth on here. We got Royce da 5'9" and Black Thought. We got D Smoke, Sci-Hi. I don't think he goes by the Prince anymore, but Sci-Hi. We got Bun B, Trey the Truth. Wasn't Trey the Truth on the thing we did last week?
Yeah.
He's
like, must say he's a downside rapper, but like, damn, you got all the that's underground right there. Like, yeah. Every you name that's like whenever somebody
hip hop.
And he got two ladies on here, Lanelle Grant and Moo Moo Fresh. It sounds like they both like, you know, I don't know how old they are, but the way that they're rapping and the time in life that they are, I was just surprised because a lot of these rappers, when they get to like, you know, like family status and stuff like that, they kind of lose their edge a little bit. But these two women right here, they killed it on the last track, Tunda Fire. That joint is fire. So I highly recommend that. Also watch Kev on Stage's Keep Your Distance comedy show. Now, unfortunately, this was the last one of the year, but I'm pretty sure I caught the best one. Because there was this guy that Jamie Foxx roasted on one of these comedy specials. His name is like Doug something. And he's like a laughingstock in the comedian community because Jamie roasted him so harshly. So I think this is his first time coming back out and performing during Corona. And he was making jokes about Kev and how much he was paying them and everything like that. And the vibe was a little like weird then, but then people totally didn't like it when he started making like racist jokes. And you know how early 2000s comedians would say like, oh, this is how like Asians act, this is how Black people act and stuff like that.
He was still doing those type of jokes in 2020.
Yeah, yeah, he was doing those type of jokes. And you could hear people felt, you know, it was odd. And Patrick Cloud, if you ever seen him, he has like braids and stuff. He was laughing out like the awkwardness. And I think he was laughing at the awkwardness and it just made it funny. But yeah, so Doug bombed. And then Clayton Thomas, he prefers to go by CT, but Clayton Thomas went up and he killed it. Like he improvised based off how Doug bombed. And he did like a solid 15 minutes just joning on Doug and saying all this other shit. And it was hilarious. I wish they would have recorded it. I think it's going to come on Kev on Stage's app maybe by mid next year because of all the episodes and stuff like that. But CT roasted this man again. Like, I don't know how he didn't fight him after that shit. That shit was funny. And that's all for me for this week. Let's get into top five albums
of all time.
Our top five. Don't be emailing us saying like, "Oh, why, how could you pick that? That's definitely not the top five for us."
Our top five.
Us. Yeah.
But yeah.
I feel like this is gonna be hilarious. Even if it's like, you know, music is like a subjective thing, so you really can't get mad at somebody's pick. Yeah. But I don't know, man. This isn't, you know, this is crossing genres, crossing sounds. So this is gonna be pretty interesting.
No matter, it would be hip hop, it can be R&B, it can be rock, country, soul, whatever we feeling, funk. We're gonna see.
You're really surprised me with his list. For Nickelodeon, so he should go
first. Oh, I did?
Yeah,
oh,
he did. I'm going surprising to at least surprising. So Drew, Just, and then Kenny.
Drew surprised? I mean, remember, Drew ain't...
How is Avatar The Last Airbender now?
You didn't watch Avatar, though.
How do you not see Avatar? You're 20...
This other show...
He ain't watch Avatar, and my thing is like... He ain't watch Avatar, and second of all, he ain't watch Danny Phantom, so I was like, all right.
To watch Naruto, Kenny, there's a prerequisite. You have to watch.
He said to watch Dark Knight as a prerequisite.
Nah, no, yeah, yeah. You gotta watch another Anime-like thing with elements.
It came out at the same time, though, bro.
All right, yeah. It's not like I've never seen an episode of Avatar. I know about Avatar. I've seen episodes. I just didn't finish it. I seen like the first, let's say 10 episodes or 15 episodes. But I know about Avatar. I know about Aang and Appa Yip Yip. I know about all that.
All right. Start it off, bro. Let's get
all right, man. Dang, let me get my notes app up. So
you also got we have honorable mentions too here, just to let y'all know.
The thing about honorable mention about my honorable mentions is there's so many albums that I like that I couldn't even make one. But I have one honorable mention, and that's Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. That album's 10 out of 10. There's so many hits, and there's hits that you'll like forget and go back and listen to. You'll be like, oh yeah, that was a hit. Like the sampling that artists use to this day on that album is still crazy to me. And that literally got me into like soul music and all that jazz. But that's if I had honorable mention, it'll be that one. There's so many others that I can name though. But yeah, about my list, either one or through five, they could be one or five. But I'm gonna just start off with number five as Good Kid, Mad City, Kendrick Lamar.
Solid.
Respectable.
Okay, Justin liked this one. All right. Yeah, so, you know, was this Kendrick's debut album?
No. Second.
Okay. I thought it was his debut. All right. Well, yeah. I think this is Kendrick's best album.
It is
one of the best rap albums that came out in recent memory. You could, you know, make a case say all time, but I'm not gonna go that far. But this is just one of my favorite albums ever. You know, the pictures that he painted in it, and just, you know, raising, like, it felt like I was actually in Compton with him, and like, you know, the skits that they had, the transitions, all that. 10 out of 10. All these albums to me, all the albums that I have on here are 10 out of 10. But like, you know, Good Kid, Mad City, that really set the tone for like the early 2010s in rap, like with the era of Drake, Kendrick, and Cole. Like, I feel like around that time, it was really just them. I mean, it still is kind of them three, even though Kendrick can't drop in like 3 years. But at that time, like 2011, 2012-ish, man, that was a great time in hip hop. People sleep on that era. So, Good Kid, Mad City is my five. Oh, do y'all want me to go with my full list? No.
Just.
Okay. Yeah, that's my five.
All right, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
So, mine is also Good Kid, Mad City.
Jeez.
It's crazy because I was just actually listening to it again. It was like either a week or two ago going to work, and I was just like, man, this is such a five. This is such a fire album, man. Like,
it's facts.
It's just a chilling album. It's just a chilling album to me. Like Kendrick was, he had the streets on lock, man. Like swimming pools, man. Oh my gosh. But that's definitely gonna be my number five right now. Good Kids, Mad City. That even takes me back even to like back to high school too.
High school.
I used to remember like listening to that joint on the bus. Oh my gosh.
I used to love that sad ass song.
That's gonna be my number.
Dying of Thirst. Yep.
Yeah.
Even when that old lady was talking, I'm not even religious, but it does something to you. It just makes you feel like very like eerie, you know?
When he was like, and if I die before your album drops, then pop, pop, pop. I was like,
dang.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. That made me go back.
And the hooker, when she fades away, that is chilling. Like, wow.
I really wish Kendrick dropped albums more often because when he does it, it's the, regardless if it's you can listen to it in the club or not, that doesn't matter. It's just
longevity.
The production and the execution is second to none. Like, Kendrick is the best rapper alive, in my opinion. Like, it's not even close, I don't think. But that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
Somebody go ahead.
All right. Well, heck, my number five took a lot of deliberation for us and everything, but number five is going to have to be J. Cole's Born Center.
Okay. Okay, Kenny. Okay.
I love Born Center.
You know.
I'm not going to see here in cap like 2014 Four Wheel Drive isn't his best album, but Born Center, in my opinion, is like my favorite album personally. Like, bar for bar, track for track, Forbidden. Like, we're not talking about just the hits. We're not talking about like Power Trip or Crooked Smile. We're talking about Villuminati, Trouble, Sparks Fly, Is She Gonna Pop? It's just like, what's this track after track? I mean, Flame and everything. I mean, I just like, it brings me back to high school and all that. You sitting here, you playing like Forbidden Fruit or what's the name of this song? This one took my tongue real quick. 1 second. It's the one, Land of the Snakes.
Oh, yeah, I like that one. Yeah, that was tough.
Land of Snakes, what's the name? Chaining Day, Niggas Know, Runaway.
You bringing me back, bro.
There's one.
Yeah.
The one, I hate
Risk. She Knows. There's one,
She Knows.
You know the,
She Knows. That one.
Yeah.
Power Trip.
That's one of my favorite songs.
What's the one when it's raining?
Huh?
The one that where he's raining, he's like, I hate rich niggas, goddamn it, because I ain't never have a lot, damn it.
Yeah, rich niggas.
That's rich niggas. All right, yeah, I love that one.
Rich niggas, yeah. Rich niggas, ain't that some shit? Let Nas down,
bro. Bro, that's poetry, right? I mean, well, hip hop is poetry, but that's poetry.
That was poetry right there. I'm like, yo. And then the remix with Nas responding is like, hey, bro, you ain't let Nas down, but you still a real nigga. And I was like, I fucks with you, brother. Respect. But yeah,
bro. the funny thing is that came from what song was that?
He made it about like his workout. First hit. He made it about, workout.
Why did Nas hate Workout so much? That joint was fire.
I mean, heck, he felt like it was just a lazy track because, like, it's a decent track, but it's like
that joint was a nice song, bro.
He sampled Paula Abdul and was like, "We had a good thing. I hope you never do it." I'm like, it's cool,
bro. That joint was a nice, fun song. But it's funny because
that joint was fire.
Yeah, exactly.
And that like he said, like, "How you gonna get on me? But you made Owe Me with Genuine, bro."
Exactly.
But yeah,
exactly.
That's number five. Born Center.
There's a theme going on. I can hear it, or I can feel it. There's a 2011 2012 theme going on. Like, I'm telling you, that era of hip hop was nice, man.
Yeah.
All right, move on. All right, Marcus. 97. Reasonable Doubt is my number five.
Okay.
Best Jay-Z album. I remember in college, my sophomore year, when I was trying to expand my music palette, and I was listening to all these old hip-hop albums and stuff like that. I never understood why Jay-Z, I'd never been a Jay-Z fan before then. I'd never understood why Jay-Z was so acclaimed. But that album is almost front to back, like, playable. Almost every song is great on there. Jay-Z is rapping. I think we need to give Jay-Z a little bit more credit as far as paving the way for Drake. It didn't feel like Drake, but it felt like, not commercial rapper, but once you heard Jay rap, you could tell he was going to be a staple in this industry. Like, you knew, a staple in this industry.
I'm trying to think of the track list.
Great.
I mean, that's like 96. When 96, we're saying Jay-Z dropped. I mean, that's like, that's when he became like the hottest nigga in the game.
Wait, did it come out 96 or 97?
96. It was released 96.
Okay, bet. Yeah, 96.
I mean, Can't Knock the Hustle, bro.
Yeah, Can't Knock the Hustle. He starts off fire. Like, the production is everything.
Dead Presidents.
Yep.
Two. Ain't No Nigga. Can I Live?
Yeah,
that's a good. Yeah, it's fire.
I like the one where they're playing pool in the beginning.
I don't remember the videos.
I'll forget that one.
Okay, now it's a song where they're saying like they're playing pool and they're talking about how much money they're making and everything like that. There's two other guys on this song. Yeah, but they're up there. They're rapping their ass off. So kind of confused as to why we don't hear from them anymore, but yeah, solid album.
All right, so it's my turn now. Okay, so this one is gonna I'm just gonna throw people off. I mean, everybody kind of recognizes he's like a really good artist. But you know, for all my sad boys out there, all my sad girls out there, you know, y'all know if y'all when y'all hear this one, Blonde, Frank Ocean.
I like that album.
It's a good album.
Look,
Go ahead. Nights is a classic, though.
Hey, man. Oh, yeah. Nights is an instant classic. I don't even think about Nights. But it's just, I guess, I don't know if it's because I'm just a sad boy, but like the replay value,
self control.
Man. That joint put you in your feelings, and you were in a good mood before. Like, you don't even have to be sad before. Like, you could just be like, you know, just chilling. Like, you know, I feel like turn this on, and then you just think about your ex from 2010. You're like, dang, man, she really loved me. Not saying that's what I did, but I'm just saying, you know, in college, you know, it gets a little lonely sometimes. You know what I mean? Turn on some Frank Ocean. You know, roll up something real quick. You know what I mean? Somebody did that on a couple nights. You know.
I remember that album, and it was during the time where I was in my longest relationship, and it was going downhill, and I was like, I'm about to be fire when we break up, and it was. It was. I was like, ooh, I think White Ferrari going to hit the most after, like. So, yeah, I love that album.
Yeah, man, that album's great. What was it? Channel Orange is also good too, but it doesn't hit as hard as Blonde. So that's my number four.
Oh man, Marcus, you are truly hilarious, man. This album about to be fire after we break. But for my number four, it's honestly gonna be Forest Hills Drive's J. Cole. I genuinely love that album. I still remember, like, just like chilling at night, like on the couch, probably like 1 a.m. in the morning, just listening to the intro of that joint, and I'll be like, "Wow, man, he really takes his time and puts his heart into these intros, for real." And just, do you wanna be happy? And I was like, "Wow, dang, man!" And he has so many bangers on that, and I don't remember any features. He might have had one. I don't think
it's no features, bro. He went double platinum, no
features.
That's the thing. He didn't have any features on that one either. And this is one that really got me. There was one time, this was when Vine was still kind of around, and there was like one Vine where they had Will Smith and like Uncle Phil and everything, and he had Role Models playing in the background. I was just like, dang, that's crazy. And it was like the scene where Will Smith was just like, "How come you don't want me, man?" And it was just like, sheesh. But yeah, it's got to be a Forest Hills Drive. That's like my favorite album from J. Cole. That's a banger, for real.
Definitely a banger.
He always knows what he's doing when it comes to like an intro, honestly.
I mean, heck, bro, just drive around, you know, like a dark night or it's raining in place of Saint-Tropez.
Exactly.
Smoke my sins away. It's just smooth. I fucks with it. I mean, that apparently makes me think about my mom at the beginning of stanza and everything, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I haven't listened to Forest Hills Drive in so long. I should probably do that.
Yeah. All right. So number four for me. Number four for me would have to be, let me look at this, look at my list. All right, I got it. It would have to be, I don't know if you ever heard of him, Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite.
I haven't heard.
You're an old ass nigga for that.
He really is, right?
You're an old ass nigga for that. I ain't gonna lie though. Several other songs are on one of my favorite playlists I've made. I ain't gonna lie.
So I don't know if what's saying. So for all you don't know, you've never
heard. It's Pretty Wings on there.
Huh?
It's Pretty Wings on there.
Nah, that's Black Summer's Night Dream. That's a classic too, but it's not on this list.
You really are old, hey, bro. Go ahead.
But Maxwell's Urban Hang Suite, like I remember. This is the album my parents used to play back in the day. Both of them big Maxwell fans and everything. And shit, longevity, the smoothness of it all. It's like, this is the type of shit you can put on, like, you got the fam around, or you just kicking it. Like, it's just smooth music. I mean, you got Something Something, Ascension, Dance With Me, Till the Cops Are Knocking, Whenever, Whatever, You, Whatever, Sweet Lady. It's just like that. And even the unplugged version he did of this album was hitting it. Cause like, what's name, he had that. He had like the what's name, I don't, like, everybody's heard of this track, of This Woman's Work. If you ever heard of it, like, that's the one track everybody knows. Uh-huh. Yep. That one falsetto and everything.
Actually, I'm sorry, Marcus. Could you do that again? I didn't quite hear.
Okay, I got it.
One more time.
Hey, yo, bro. But yeah, like I recommend, if you've never heard it before, check them out. Change your life. Some good, smooth mood music. He has like a couple tracks you get your feelings to, but it's a couple tracks you just put on, just be like driving to, like going a whole good drive, just being summertime mellow moods and all that, whenever you want to feel it.
Maxwell, that album is so good. A girl got to build up to me playing that in the car when she with me. You got to build up to for me to play that. You
can't play that with everybody. Ain't no first date type shit. Like, I need, like, he needs at least 3 months in. I'm like, I know for like, for me to put her on to this.
And I'm damn near going to marry that girl. So, you know, but, say, so, no, I ain't going to marry
you for the streets? But no.
Oh.
Dirty Sprite 2.
Ooh.
Dirty Sprite 2. I remember I didn't like the album at first. It was my first... I didn't like trap music like that. But my sophomore year, I was looking for new music, and I think Pitchfork gave it a B. And we shouldn't listen to Pitchfork anyway. Some of those reviews are ass. But I listened to it, and I was like, I don't get it. But I kept listening to it, and I don't know why I kept listening to it, but I was like, there's something I'm missing. And then I stopped letting it. I stopped wanting it to be what I wanted it to be, which I wanted to be like a hippie hop album. And it's just a nigga talking about, it's just a nigga talking about his success and some hood shit. And that's all you get it. It's some wild hood shit. You know, as soon as you play it, what other album is going to start with "I just fuck your bitch and some Gucci flip flops"? That's amazing. Like, other rappers don't even have the audacity to say that, you know what I'm saying? And once you hear the story behind it, even Real Sisters, even though that's from another project, I don't care if they were real sisters. I don't care if they were real sisters.
Now I'm back fucking my groupies. Now I'm back fucking my groupies.
Yeah, it's bracket. Yeah, hey, man.
Future Hendrix, bro.
Future Hendrix.
Three fingers.
That's why they were, I said in the group chat earlier today, they was having a sermon on, what's that, Hangout or whatever?
Yeah.
Clubhouse. They were having a future sermon. And can one of y'all please invite me to that app? Because I hear it's lit. And I want to be on there with y'all. So
I have it down the aisle. My brother was on it like a couple times, but I don't even know about the app that much. I may have to look at. So what is it?
It's like an app that everybody joins in and everything. Like, you start a discussion. So basically, imagine group FaceTime, except nobody's on FaceTime and everybody's just on audio, so you can all have like a whole discussion and everything. So actually, like a conference call, really, but it's like more for like different people and all that.
Yeah.
It's the wave right now, but yeah.
Yes.
Only thing I know about is like when Meek Mill's out here, Kirk on his man academics, but yeah.
Oh, that was on Clubhouse?
Yeah.
Let me say something about that. You bitch ass niggas, you got academics in there. Okay, academics is you know, academics is corny as hell. But you got Tory Lanez in there, and all 100 of you industry niggas ain't say nothing. Y'all came here to jump on academics? Academics? Come on, he's not even a threat. You talking about It was just wild. Tory was in
he's
there.
An easy target for these niggas. That's the reason why.
Yeah,
that's been happening for that man for a while.
Like, but that's some bitch ass shit though. Talk about Tory. Don't talk about academics. Academics is low on the totem pole. You talk about he messing with y'all careers and shit like that. Academics is a joke. Talk about the dude that shot a black woman in her foot and is about to face jail time for it. Why are you niggas? Who even invited him? Disappointments.
Yeah,
man.
But yeah, on to your number four, Marcus. Oh yeah, you just did.
Yeah, he did Dirty Sprite number too. Number three. Oh yeah, we're going by this. So this is another one that's gonna throw y'all off a little bit. But if y'all hip to this, then y'all know that this is not something that should throw you off. I don't even know what you call it. I like rock music a little bit, you know? And I started listening to rock music once I got Guitar Hero World Tour in like 2006 or whatever. And like the song Misery Business by Paramore, that joint triggered me into listening to rock music. I don't listen to it all the time, but like sometimes when I feel like, you know, just listen to it. That's the album. The album's called Riot by them. And it's literally no skips at all. It's pretty fire. If y'all are open to listening to it, I highly recommend it. I'm sure y'all have already heard some songs in passing, so it wouldn't be that far off from y'all. But yeah, Riot by Paramore. Hayley Williams is literally the GOAT. Like, I love her so much.
I'm pretty sure we all had our emo phase.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
I'm still in it.
Yeah.
The song I remember from them is like the Ain't It Fun joint, because that joint's actually, I mean, that joint was slapping.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Don't go crying to your mama.
But man, that album is good, and the album before that is good as well.
Yeah, I love that. That album's perfect. Like I was listening to that joint, like a couple weeks ago on my way to work, and I was like, let me see how far I can get into it before I skip, and I literally went through the whole album. So I was like, yeah, I'm definitely putting on this joint on my list. So yeah, Paramore, man. Hayley Williams, the GOAT.
Did y'all ever listen to Panic at the Disco?
That sounds so familiar.
Is that the one like the My Best Friend and the Haven't You Never Heard Of?
Yeah,
it was that.
Them niggas weird, but that album is a classic. I think it should be talked about more. That album is good. All
right. Number three, Jess.
My number three is gonna be can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, cool. My number three is gonna be Slime Season by Young Thug.
Okay. Which one? The first one?
Yeah, the first one. The first Slime Season. But that I remember being like so turned in like 2015 to that album, bro. Like, there's not like one song on there that I can truly skip. Probably one, actually. Yeah, I just lied. But that joint's a classic, in my opinion. Like, and I think we've said this before on the show. Young Thug has so many kids in this rap industry right now. It's crazy. Like, he really like opened the door for some of these like rappers out in here right now. Like, honestly, like,
yeah. It's literally a hip hop family tree. Like, it went from
Wayne,
mm-hmm.
then Thug, then we got Gunna's Babies and all the other ones.
Yeah. Like, a lot of times, like, you'll listen to rappers now, and it goes back to Thug. It goes back to Thug, honestly.
I think, what were the hits from that one? I'm trying to remember.
Best Friend.
That's my best friend.
Yeah.
I mean, I fuck with Take Care, but some people didn't.
Take Care was fire.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Take Care was fire.
The Bardas,
I remember.
Pretty cool.
Bardas 6 got me into Young. I was like, okay, this dude is actually pretty good. Because at first, I was like, I thought he was just kind of trash. Because the first song I listened to was Stoner.
Stoner?
Yeah, it was Stoner. And I was like, I mean, it's catchy, but I was like, this, it's catchy, his voice is weird.
I'm just going to be nay-nay to it at the club. That's it, bro.
Yeah, And then, Lifestyle came up. I was like, okay, I kind of like this dude. And then when he dropped Barter 6, I was like, okay, so he's actually good. Like, it's a different sound, but it's actually like tough. And then ever since then, that was when I was hooked.
Yeah, he actually has a good wordplay, you know. And my favorite song by him ever, it has to be Again with him and Gucci Mane.
Oh yeah, that was on the first month.
It's season? Not on there, but it's just like he has a lot of hits. Young Thug has a lot of hits, honestly.
Again, I ain't heard that song in years, bro.
And it's exactly, and like when you do play, it's just like this man is fire. Like honestly.
That brings me back to like sophomore year or freshman year. Dang, man. Yeah. I really miss college, y'all.
Same. Dang. Well, for moments of college, not the whole thing, but.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm talking about like the social aspect, not like the.
Like parties, the rooms, all the other stuff.
Man, simpler time.
I just missed that last semester. That last semester, I was wild.
Yo.
That's what I'm
gonna
say. But go ahead.
That definitely was a fun semester.
That was lit. Like, it was lit as fun.
That was lit. That was lit.
It was lit. All right. Number three for me. Had to be Frank Ocean's Channel Orange.
Hey, another Frank. Okay.
Like as far as I mean, Blonde was cool to me, but my thing is, like, I remember when Channel Orange dropped, like the lead up to it, like I was still bumping Nostalgia Ultra and everything, listening to all like the excerpts and him teasing music and everything. Then a single drop, and it was Pyramids. And my thing is, I still, the fact that it was a 10-minute long track, but I sat through every 10 minutes every single time and could not stop listening to it, let me know this album is going to be fucking fire. And I was like, bro, this is a 10-minute track. I mean, it starts off, like, I remember he talked about the crafting for that single track itself. He said it took over 2 months to make that track because he said it was just perfect. And then, I mean, like, it's just, it's no skips on that album. You can start off from, like, what's the name where it just starts off, and you have Thinking About You, that, you get a little emotional, Pilot Jones, Thinking About Your Ex or whatever, and that, you got Monks, Lost, Sweet Life.
Ah.
You have Super Rich Kids with Earl, which is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Then I mean, it's just a great album from start to finish, like, I know every song like the back of my hand, and yeah.
Yeah, I think Pyramids is one of the greatest songs ever made. I'm going to be honest. No. Or one of the greatest songs I've ever heard, I'll say that. Channel Orange, I have no objection to that.
Yeah, Channel Orange. Number three, Marcus?
Take Care. Take Care is number three. I had to think with this album in number two, whether they were going to swap places or not. And I ended up making Take Care number three. It is Drake's best album. Drake is my favorite artist currently right now. It is his, like, his best sound. It really defined an era, really. It really made it acceptable again for male rappers to be singers and rappers. The production is crazy, amazing. I think it's when Drake is at his best lyrically, consistently throughout an album. I'll say that. I'm not gonna say he's most consistent throughout that album. I just love it. And plus, while I was going through my emo phase in high school again, it helped me go over into hip hop because there were those type of songs over here too in this space. And it really shows you the relationship between like punk and hip hop and stuff like that you see in documentaries. Like, you can see it bleed into Drake's music. So,
Cameras.
Yeah, when I wasn't even in relationship with bitches, I was just like, that's who you
vision.
I wish he did a music video. I always been thinking about this. I wish he did a music video with him on Instagram, and it's her scrolling through Instagram and see him having fun and shit like that. And you could throw in the Twitter fleece and whatever else, but it's just her. And then you see tears coming on the screen and everything like that. That would be dope. But yeah.
Yeah. Classic ass album. Love that shit. I mean, like, what's name? It was basically him. Like, people want to say that what's name wrote all of it. He only wrote like three tracks, which is only a camera, some of Cameras, Crew Love, and the some of the Ride, which was The Weeknd. But like, what's the name? Like, how you hear Party Next Door all over albums nowadays? That's how The Weeknd was back in the day. And I mean, it's just a class album from start to finish. Love that shit. It's on my list. I'll be honest with you.
It's, well, I mean, we can keep talking about it because it's literally my next pick. So,
like, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, you know,
number two,
Drake is probably my favorite artist of all time. And so, this, I had to put a Drake album in here and I had to put the best one out here. So, and the best one I said in our past episodes was Take Care. So, it was no brainer to me. And my issue was trying to figure out where to put it. So, I ended up putting it on two because, like I said, just piggybacking off of what I said about the rap albums that were coming out from 2011 to 2013, were just really, really good, or 2014, was just really, really good. And Take Care was probably the better ones, aside from like that, and Good Kid, Mad City was probably just up there. And the classics, I came, you know, the classics can speak for themselves, but you know, my favorite one is like, it's probably either Cameras, The Ride, or I really loved Over My Dead Body, the intro.
Shot for Me was this album.
All of them were good. But like, this is zero skips. So maybe the Kendrick feature, maybe I may skip
You don't like Marvin's Room?
No. I'm talking about the Kendrick feature. The one
that was, that was on the second part of Buried Alive.
Buried Alive, yeah. That one, I mean, I guess it's because it just didn't have replay value. I'll say that.
What? I mean,
yeah. Buried Alive.
Like, it starts off a little shaky. But my thing is, when you start spinning, saying, "Looking in the mirror, I'm embarrassed. I'm feeling like a suicidal terrorist. We act like an infant whenever you are mentioned. Mind never matter, never word from my nemesis." I was like, that's when the nigga started spinning. I was like,
I guess that's something I'll listen to if, like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to listen to Take Care right now instead of, like, let me hear this song from Take Care and that song's come on. Like, if I'm just hearing Take Care casually, then I'm going to skip it. But if I'm like, okay, let me listen to Take Care like it's 2011, then I'll listen to everything.
Yeah.
If that makes sense at all. I don't think
it does. All right. You want to listen to it in total. It's like, because it tells a full story and everything.
Exactly. Yep, exactly. But yeah, Take Care is number two.
All right. How about you, Jess? How you feeling, bro?
My number two is actually gonna be a Drake one. It's not Take Care. It's If You're Reading This Now.
I knew that was gonna be on your list.
I really like this mixtape that became an album. Like, I remember when this album dropped. To be honest, I didn't even like it at first, but I remember when it dropped and it broke Spinrella, because I remember this was a time when Spinrella was popping like heavy and everything, and like people were like always on Spinrella and everything. And I remember it was like a solid like couple of days or weeks, and I was just like, hold on a minute, let me listen to this joint again. This is pretty fire. This is pretty fire. And then when I wanted to actually download it, because I didn't actually have it downloaded, I was like, I had just like listened to like Energy at a party at one for, and I was like, oh yo, when Drake dropped this some heat, when he dropped this. And I thought that flow, Energy, was gonna be like the whole album, honestly, because again, I had listened to it at a party and I was just like, all right, okay, you know. But I sat down to listen to it and I was just like, this is actually hard. Like, I remember like that summer of like 2015, just chilling sometimes, like listening to it, and it would just get me like so motivated to be like, I gotta make something to myself. Like, I remember this one verse he had on. I remember this one verse he had on Star 6-7 with Lil Wayne, and he was just like, "I've been had visions of this since I was Jimmy." I was just like, man,
This man is just like he on some GOAT stuff right now. But that album was truly so fire, bro. Like so much heat. Like, and the crazy thing is I remember that summer was like it was so much momentum building up to Views because like him and Meek were like beefing at the time. He had just dropped Back to Back right after that. It was another one he dropped to Charge It Up.
You're Charged Up, but then Summer 16 after that. But yeah.
So I remember Summer 16, and we were so hyped, man. But that's definitely my number two.
Heck, man. Hopping in the car. I remember that whole summer, every time I hopped in the car, I always start off with Know Yourself. Should be hype.
And I was running through this.
Through the six with my world. Back, bro. Since we're on the topic of Drake, number two is Take Care For Me.
Wow. Wait, no. Four straight.
Oh. Yeah, man. Take Care. Like Drew said, there's no skips on that whole album. Like you can from start to finish. I mean, Over My Dead Body, Shot For Me, Headlines, Crew Love, Take Care. I mean, literally, when the majority of the album turns out to be hits, you can't deny the greatness of that album. I mean, after that, like Marcus said, Cameras to me was like when I first listened to that album was like my favorite track, like on repeat, like the first part, then switch up when he went from like the spitting to like singing and everything. That you had the Weeknd. All settling in the background and shit. You just like out here, like you know that one meme where you looking like that, like black guys looking hard and saying headphones and everything. You got some other shit on, like that's me with cameras, like all back in high school. But yeah,
I bet y'all don't know where the camera sample comes from. What artist?
John B.
Damn it, Kenny. Well, I knew you knew, but they didn't. Did y'all know?
I did not know.
John B, famous from Cameras. Oh, the same. That's the original song. Not Calling On You. And after that, Don't Talk.
Yeah, Call On You is fire too. But y'all ready for me to get into number two?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
College Dropout is my number two. My cousin used to always idolize Kanye. And I never understood it because I wasn't a big Kanye fan. I understood he was a good rapper and everything like that. But I think the College Dropout is ahead of his time. The whole album is fire. Kanye bars is great. The production is great. And it's telling a story. And we don't have any... I think that was the first time where you seen a backpack rapper or a rapper that comes from college and he talks about his college experience and talk about how that shit is trash. It was just amazing. It was different. It's still amazing. It's still different. And it's nothing else like it. Nothing else.
So I was trying to figure out if I was going to put College Dropout or what Kanye album I was going to put because unfortunately Kanye is one of my favorite artists like ever.
Same.
Artists, not people, person, artists. So I was trying to figure out which one I was going to put. And I was going to put College Dropout at first and then I was like, let me really think of when I was listening to Kanye, like when I started listening to him. And I was like, Graduation was when I really started to like mess with him and when I really started to like it. So I had got to go with Graduation, even though College Dropout may be better. Does that make any sense? Yeah. Like, I feel like that was when I started listening to him. That was when I really started to like catch on and specifically Stronger. Like that song, I don't know why, I don't know how old I was. I was young. But like when I really started listening, I was like, "Bro, this song, I've never heard a song like this ever." Like with the futuristic themes that it plays on and stuff like that, and he just kept expanding on it, even to all the way to his recent. I haven't listened to Jesus King, and I'm not going to. But all the way up to what was his last album called? His rap album,
Right for Pablo.
Yeah, like all the way up to that, I was just following that, and Kanye is literally my favorite. Artist, so I number one gotta be Graduation. That was when I really started to get into rap at all. because at first when I was younger, I was, you know, just listening to gospel music and stuff. So College Dropout by Kanye is definitely my number one.
Nice. How about you, Jess?
My number one is actually Graduation by Kanye.
Kanye too.
Are we the same person? What is going on?
We are finally all on the same page.
This is the, I was expecting beef and arguments. I don't like this.
Go ahead. Nah. Like this is it's a really good project, honestly. You know, as an artist, I can say that there have been many cases where I've listened to like Kanye and I'll be like, it's crazy, you know, like this is a bit ahead of its time. Like, and like, it's like his projects like Graduation, College Dropout, they age so well too. Like you can still listen to them today. Like Stronger, yeah. Like I remember I was listening to the song closely, like even more closely just last week. And I remember the background of like the futuristic guy in like his production had filled in the blanks of what he was saying when he stopped talking. And I was just like, did he just place that there, that voice there at that specific? It was, he's musically, Kanye is, he's a gifted person. I can say that. Like, this is a really amazing album. Like Good Life, oh my God. This is the good life, better than the life I like.
I thought I was going to go crazy.
And my grandma, mom. Like, it's a...
Funny enough, Stronger, the video was based off of Akira, you know that, right?
I didn't even know that. Are you serious?
Yeah, like what's in the music video for Stronger was based off of Akira, like back when... not Tetsuo, the other nigga who was getting mad and everything was going crazy in the hospital. It was based off that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's tough. I really didn't know that. Like, there's just so many instrumentals on here that just so, like, it's so chilling. Like, I wonder. And then, like, he tears it up. Like, my number one's Graduation, definitely.
All right. So, like, me, Graduation is a great ass album. But as far as Kanye, for me, he's my number one pick too. But like it was saying, the album I'm gonna pick, I don't know how anybody else feel about this. I don't give a fuck. It's my personal opinion. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Why? That's a good pick.
Why was so much like we would have said something like that's a dope.
I don't know, niggas. Like, you understand? I say my Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Niggas always want to hop in. Hey, what about Graduation? Hey, about College Dropout? What about Late Registration? All that and everything. I'm like, that's just my opinion.
That's his most complete album.
People don't understand. It's just like, it's not that you don't like the other albums. You happen to like this one a little better than the other ones. They're all still great, you know?
Yes. Like I still remember this album, like, when it first was released and everything, like the build up to it. Cause I remember before that we had the Good Summer, like what's in the, the Good Friday drops and everything, as far as like he dropped, like every Friday he was dropping like what's same songs with different people. Like that's back when Kanye was on his like revenge tour. Cause this was, in this time Kanye had just like what's name, this is like a little bit past the Taylor Swift thing and everything. Like Kanye was down bad. Nobody was fucking with that man. Mom has just died. The nigga was not really doing that well. Nigga said, fuck all that. I'm gonna go in the studio and I'm gonna crank out some fucking fire. And he did. As far as like the lead up to it with the Good Friday drops, I mean, you had Good Friday, Don't Stop, Chain Heavy, Christian Dior, Denim Flow, Lord. It's just a whole bunch of different ones. And then the album itself dropped and it was just flame. I mean, you had All the Lights, Blame Game, Gorgeous, So Appalled, Slow Jams, Devil in a New Dress, Slow Way. Huh?
Slow Jams? No.
Oh, no, Slow Jams was Slow Jams was way before that. But nah, I was saying All the Lights, Lost in the World. Like, my thing is, we heard Lost in the World, like, he starts off and everything, that he has, he had, I forgot the nigga name, but like he has a person come in, like what's in for his lecture or whatever, or sermon. And it's just like you feel that shit, every word of it. And like from start to finish, there's no skips. That's a classic ass album, in my opinion.
Was it Franklin? Who's that nigga's name? Franklin. He revolutionized gospel again.
Most in the world. Kirk Franklin.
Yeah, is it Kirk?
No, Jill Scott Heron.
Okay.
It was Jill Scott Heron, what's name on the end, what's name, he was talking about who's surviving America and everything, as far as like talking about us as black people in America and our difference in our state of what's name living here and everything. And I fucked with that. And like it didn't feel out of place. And then I mean all of the lights that we got was a lot different than the lights we originally should have. Cause I remember the original All of Lights was just like great. And then after that, we got the one we had now. But I mean it was like I said, it's a good album. You have a bunch of good features. I mean, you have Nicki Minaj's best verse on that album, on Monster, and that.
Oh yeah,
yeah, and yeah, it's just a great ass album from start to finish.
Yeah, no, I have no objections to that. I think it's not my favorite, but it's definitely I have no problem saying it's his most complete album, just from top to bottom. It's just yeah. I have no problems. And I like how, I don't know if y'all knew, but when they was recording it, it was like a requirement for them to wear suit and tie in the studio. Like every day they record. Yeah. Like all the people that was on the feature and stuff, and everybody had something to do with the production and the audio and all that stuff. Like they all had to wear suit and tie every day they was recording. That alone shows that he was just in his different bag. And at that time, like it was just a whole different, I don't, like, who does that? Like, it literally just sets the tone of how it sounds, and you could hear it in the music.
Yeah, so. The nigga said, I'm going to be on some real shit this time. But yeah.
Yeah. I also love, my favorite one's probably Runaway. I love Runaway.
Heck, man. That you hear the beat at the end is, what that shit?
Yes, sir.
All right. Number one.
All right, Marcus. Last one.
My number one is Ready to Die by Biggie. Now,
I forgot about that.
At first in high school, it was like my first introduction into old school rap, and I listened to it my senior year and I didn't like it that much, but I kept on listening to it for some reason, and I just loved it. And I think it's because it is an emo rap album. It is a very emo rap album. This whole time this dude is basically rapping about him wanting to die. And it was during the time I was going through depression and stuff like that. So it was just like Biggie dealing with depression, and the way he was like, Biggie is very masculine for him to even like admit something like that, you know, it was wow. And then on top of like the story of like his self-destruction and him not being able to overcome his past with like selling drugs and, you know, just overall being a bad person, it was also like the being poor thing. I mean, I've never been poor, but I've been lower middle class, and that, you know, trying to make money and you know, you want to do stuff, but you don't have the funds and you like, damn, what am I going to do? And like the lyricism and stuff like that, I think Biggie is the best lyricist of all time. It's just smooth. His cadence and everything like that. It's just like his flow is like music itself sometimes. Yeah. And it was just like, I don't know why Biggie has always reminded me of my dad too, even though their personalities are totally different. He's always reminded me of my dad. And whenever I think of hip hop and someone that embodies it from like is potential and like what it can be and what it has been, it's always been Biggie. Because he's telling stories, he's expressing his emotions, he's expressing himself, he's braggadocious on it. He has a good flow on it, good puns, good everything. And it's the first album I could listen to front to back. Perfect. So, yeah, let's wrap this up before my laptop dies.
Same.
That wraps up the end of the show. I mean, that wraps up the show. Thank you guys for listening to another episode of The Blurbs. Feel free to follow us on Twitter, Instagram at The Blurbs Word, and on our Facebook page called The Blurbs. Don't forget to subscribe to us at The Blurbs on YouTube and like all our videos. Also, feel free to leave us a 5-star review and a positive comment on your favorite podcast aggregator. And see you guys next time. And leave some comments. I ain't gonna tell y'all no more. Leave a comment. Alright.
Y'all better do it.
Alright, y'all gonna get cold for Christmas.
What the man, do that. Man says.
Alright, y'all. Peace.
Alright, I gotta go.